Church here streaming live, and I'm so glad that you've decided to join us today as we worship God on this one special Sunday. Well, as we get started this morning, we do want to start with a word of prayer and pray for our nation once again, as we've been doing the last couple weeks, and then praying for this service, that God would speak to us as we worship Him, as we praise Him, and then as we learn from His Word. So if you would, why don't you join me there where you're at this morning, and let's pray as we get started. Father, thank you so much for allowing us to be here in this place. Father, thank you because even though our nation is going through a difficult time right now, yet, Father, you have never left us nor forsaken us. And Father, you've given us the means where we can still worship you together. Maybe not in the same place as we're used to, but Father, we're one in spirit with you this morning. And so, Father, I pray that as we go through this service, Father, that all that we do would be for your honor and for your glory, that the songs that we'd sing would praise your name and exalt your name. I pray that, Father, the message that is for us this morning would be something that would speak to us, that we would be receptive to your word. And then, Father, I also pray that you would be with our nation. So many churches today are doing what we're doing this morning, and I pray that you would be with their services, that you would be with us as a nation, be with our leaders, and that this Sunday would be a Sunday in which, Father, we can together worship you and seek your face. Father, we pray that you would bless this service now, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
The Lord's our rock, in Him we hide, a shelter in a time of storm. Secure whatever ill betide, a shelter in a time of storm. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a weary land, a weary land. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a shelter in the time of storm. A shade by day, defense by night, a shelter in the time of storm. No fears alarm, no foes affright, a shelter in the time of storm. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a weary land, a weary land. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a shelter in the time of storm. Oh, rock divine, oh, refuge dear, a shelter in the time of storm. Be thou our helper ever near, a shelter in the time of storm. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a weary land, a weary land. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a shelter in the time of storm. Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. Great I see. Oh. oceans in his hands. Who has numbered every grain of sand? Kings and nations trembled at his voice. All creation rises to rejoice. Behold our God seated on his throne. Come, let us adore him. Behold our King. Nothing can compare. Come, let us adore him. Who has given counsel to the Lord? Who can question any of his words? Who can teach the one who knows all things? Who can fathom all his wondrous deeds? Behold our God, seated on his throne. Come, let us adore. Bearing all the guilt of sinful man, God eternal, humbled to the grave, Jesus Savior, risen now to reign. Behold our God, seated on his throne. O church, arise and put your armor on. Hear the call of Christ our captain. For now the weak can say that they are strong in the strength that God has given. With shield of faith and belt of truth, we'll stand against the devil's lies. An army bold, whose battle cry is love, reaching out to those in darkness. Our call to war, to love the captive soul, but to rage against the captor. And with the sword that makes the wounded whole, we will fight with faith and valor. When faced with trials on every side, we know the outcome is secure. And Christ will have the price for which he died, an inheritance of nations. Come see the cross where love and mercy meet. As the Son of God is stricken, then see his foes lie crushed beneath his feet, for the conqueror has risen. And as the stone is rolled away, and Christ emerges from the grave, this victory march continues till the day. Every eye and heart shall see him. So Spirit, come, put strength in every stride, give grace for every hurdle. I cast my mind to Calvary, where Jesus bled and died for me. I see his wounds, his hands, his feet, my Savior on that cursed tree. His body bound and drenched in tears, they laid him down in Joseph's tomb, the entrance sealed by heavy stone. Messiah still and all alone. Jesus' face. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise his name forevermore. For endless days we will sing your praise.
Enjoyed that time of worship. I know my heart was stirred and moved as we praise God this morning. Well, before we get into the message this morning, we do want to take a time and just receive some offerings as we worship God through giving. And so this morning, we're going to, once again, as we did last week, play a quick video. Maybe you're at home, maybe this is the first time you're joining us, or you've joined us before and you're wondering how you can give online. Well, we created a small little video so that it could show you how you can, what app you need to download. And you can download the app, and then with that app, you can look for our church. And we'll go step by step in this video how you find our church and how you can give to the different funds, whether it's the construction fund, whether it's your tithing, whether it's to the missions funds. In any of those funds that you'd like to give, you can give that way or just give a one-time donation. And so in the video, we're going to do that during this time of offering. So why don't we pray for this time of giving as we worship, and you can give and worship God through giving there in your home this morning. And you could just take your phone out and follow the instructions in the video if you need to do this. So why don't we pray and ask God to bless this time. Father, thank you so much for allowing us once again the wonderful blessing and privilege to be able to give to you. Father, we know because your word teaches us that when we give to show our love and our gratitude. And Father, we have so much to be thankful for. And Father, your love for us is not just nice love, good love, but it is great love. And Father, as we worship you this morning through giving, we want to tell you through our giving that we love you too. That Father, you've been so good to us. And so, Father, I pray that you would receive these offerings and that you would bless them, that you would multiply them as they're used for the furtherance of your kingdom, for the furtherance of the gospel. And Father, we're living in a world that desperately needs the gospel. So I pray that what we give to you this morning would not just be a token of our love to you, but Father, something that you would use to further the message of the gospel. We ask all of this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
First, go to the App Store in your phone. Then type in the search bar, Give Plus. You'll find the Give with the plus sign. Hit the Install or Get button. Once it's downloading, hit the Open. When you open the app, you will need to type in the church's name, Bethany Baptist Church. It will give you a list of different Bethany Baptist Church. Press the one for Mission, Texas. On the next screen, you will have to create an account. So press Create Account. You will have to fill out the required information with your first name, last name, email, and then choose a password. After it has been successfully created, you will be asked to sign in. Type in your email and then your password once again and press sign in. After you've signed in, you can logging in through a password, a PIN, or an ID. Once you've done that, you'll notice on the screen the name of the church. Click the plus sign at the top right corner. There, you'll find a screen with all the available funds that you can donate to. The General Fund, the Missions Fund, Construction, Youth Ministry, Marriage Retreat, Mi Regalo 2019. To give your general tithe, click on General Fund. You can give on the frequency as a one-time gift, as a weekly gift, bi-weekly gift, or a monthly gift. Select the amount that you want to give, and then press Add. The next screen will show you how much you are giving. If you need to give to multiple fund accounts, hit the plus button once again, and the funds account will come up on your screen so that you can give to another account if you'd like. When you're done with your total giving, you will hit the Next button, and it will ask you to either input your savings account or checking account number, or you can use a credit or debit card. You can fill out the required information with your card number, the 3-digit security code in the back, the expiration month, and the expiration year. Put your billing address in, and then click the Next button. You will receive a receipt in your email telling you that the donation has been processed and accepted. Thank you, and God bless you.
If you have your Bibles, go ahead and open them to Jonah chapter number 1. Jonah chapter number 1. We started this series the last time we had service here in the building before all of the executive orders came down where you couldn't leave the house and shelter at home and all of that. And so we had paused that series just to give a couple messages that would address the situation that we're going through as a nation. But I'd like to get back to this series. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open to Jonah chapter number 1. Or if you have your tablet or anything like that, whatever you use to read the scriptures this morning, go ahead and turn to Jonah chapter number 1. And we're going to be reading verses number 4 down to verse number 10. All right, Jonah chapter 1, verse number 4, all the way to verse number 10. It says like this, "But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid, and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea, to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him, and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not. And they said every one to his fellow, Come, let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then said they unto him, Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us? What is thine occupation, and whence comest thou? What is thy country, and of what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them." Let's pray. Father, as we get into your word this morning, I pray that you would fill me with your spirit. I would be able to communicate this message with clarity. Father, that it would speak to the hearts of your people. I pray that your Holy Spirit would fill each and every one of us, that we would be receptive to your word this morning, that we would not just be hearers of your word, but doers also. So we pray that you'd give us understanding, give us wisdom to study your word this morning. And then, Father, we ask that you would speak to us. Speak to us in a specific way. And as we study this life of Jonah, I pray that we would see how it is that it applies to us this morning and how it is that we can apply your truth to our lives. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me ask you something this morning. Have you ever felt like quitting something? Has there ever been a time in your life where you just got tired of what was going on and you said, I quit. I'm done. Well, I remember it was my junior year in college. I had tried out for the basketball team that year and had made the team, fortunately. And for the first three games of the season, I was a starter. I was starting as a shooting guard for the team. And in those first three games, I didn't have my best games. In fact, I wasn't playing very well to start off the season. And by the fourth game, I was starting to come off the bench. And I remember just kind of thinking about that, and I said, all right, well, I'll get better by the fifth game or sixth game. And yet the fifth game came and the sixth game came, and I wasn't getting too much better. In fact, that first half of the season, by the time we were getting to the end of December, I was playing only about 7 minutes a game. And, of course, I was pretty frustrated with myself. I was kind of frustrated with the situation, And I remember I called my coach and I said, hey, can we go out to eat? I want to talk to you. And I had every intention of just kind of talking to him about the situation that I was going through and how disappointed I was in myself. And really, I was just calling him so I could tell him that I was going to be quitting the team. And I remember sitting at the restaurant and we started talking. He told me, well, what's going on? What can I help you with? And And I started out by telling him what you always say right when you're going to quit something. You say, well, I've been praying about this, all right, to the Lord. And so I started that way. I said, you know, I've been praying about this, coach. And to be honest, I've got so many other things of school and things are on me right now. And I just feel led of the Lord that I should probably quit the team. You know, I shouldn't play anymore. And of course, he read right through me. He said, it's because you're playing 7 minutes a game, isn't it? I said, well, you know, I maybe it's kind of like that. And of course, I wiggled my way through it. And at the end, I said, coach, I just feel like I need to quit. Man, you ever been there? I'm sure you have. Just in a moment of time where you're just frustrated and you're ready to quit. When you get to verse number 4 here in the book of Jonah, you run into a man that was quitting on God. We studied the first 3 verses and we learned in that message that God is patient with us, that God is working on us. In fact, he's still working on us. But in that, we find that God is extremely patient with us because we're not always ready to do what God wants us to do. But you know what's awesome about God? Is that even though we're finished with God, God is not finished with us. Even though we quit on God, God does not quit on us. And it's one of the great truths of the book of Jonah. It's one thing that you learn in the life of Jonah. Though he quit on God, though he wanted to do something else and go in a different direction in his life, God was patient with him because God was molding him. God was wanting to do something in him and for him. Now, what happens when you quit, though? What happens when you decide to say, I'm done with this, God, I want nothing else to do with you. In fact, what you want me to do, I'm going to go in the entirely opposite direction. Well, here in the life of Jonah, we see what happened to him. And it's funny because what happened in the life of Jonah is really what happens to us today. The path that Jonah took was a path of disobedience. And in our life today, when we decide that we're going to quit on God, we go down that very same path that Jonah went down. And so this morning, what I want to talk about is that path of obedience. What does that look like? What is that path made up of? Well, I want you to notice, first of all, as we study this passage, that the path of disobedience begins by us going with a crowd. I want you to notice that Jonah, as he goes in the opposite direction, God had called him to go to Nineveh. And instead of going to Nineveh, Jonah decided he was going to go to Tarshish. That was in the complete opposite direction. And so he goes and finds a boat that's going in the opposite direction, and he gets on that boat. And there, that first step on the path of disobedience is taken in the life of Jonah. And you'll find, first of all, that crowd that he was around when he did that. You see, after making the decision that he did not want to go where God was calling him, Jonah now finds himself in a boat in a crowd that was around him. And it was a crowd, let me tell you, that was not a godly crowd. The men that were on that boat were mariners, the Bible said, or sailors. And sailors in the life in the time of Jonah were not known for their spectacular spiritual life. In fact, sailors back then were known for their pagan lifestyle. They were known as people that kind of lived any way they wanted. They had a loose lifestyle, if you know what I mean. It was a kind of lifestyle that I'm going to do whatever I want. I'm going to talk the way I want. I'm going to live the way I want. And we find that now Jonah, on that first step on this path, finds himself in a crowd of people that are ungodly. You know, when we decide to go and take that step like Jonah did, do you know we find ourselves the very same way? You know, when you begin to make decisions in your life of quitting on God, the only people you're comfortable of being around are people that are also quitting on God. You're comfortable with the people that are also looking to live their life any way that they want and do whatever they want. We find that Jonah, as he's taking this first step on the path, is getting around people that have nothing to do with God and want nothing to do with God. You see, when you take that first step, you also find yourself amongst that crowd. you feel comfortable with that crowd. You kind of feel comfortable because that's where you're at. You see, when we disobey God, we seek out that crowd that is also disobeying God. And we start to do things that we never would do if we weren't going that way. We start talking in a way that we never would talk if we weren't going down that way. We start hanging around people that we never would have hung around if we didn't take and make that decision to go down that way. You know, those kinds of crowds are always looking for people to join them. You know that? In Proverbs chapter number 1 and verse number 10, Solomon is talking to his son and he's trying to warn him about that crowd. He's trying to warn him that whenever we get off of the path of wisdom, whenever we get off the path of following after God, then there is a crowd that will be inviting you. There is a crowd that is ungodly that will welcome you. And let me tell you, you will feel welcome around them because you're all going in that same direction. And listen to what Solomon writes to his son. He said, "My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood. Let us look privately for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave and whole as those that go down in the pit. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have one purse." What are they saying? What is Solomon saying? He's saying, when you get around that crowd, they're saying, let's just all do this together. Let's go all down this path together. That's why in verse number 15, he says, "My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path, for their feet are swift to evil and make haste to shed blood." In other words, Solomon says, you got to be careful. Once you start going down this path, you'll find a crowd that get around you that says, come with us. Let's go in this direction. Let's go in an ungodly way. But not only do we find that the crowd that Jonah is around on this path of disobedience is an ungodly crowd, but they were a crowd with no answers. A people with no answers. You see, in verse number 4, it says that as he gets on this boat and begins to go, somewhere down the line, as that boat is already in the sea, God brings a storm. And in the midst of that storm, the sailors, being so afraid that they're not going to survive the storm, they begin throwing out everything they've got on that ship. Now, this is important to realize because sailors in those days got paid for the cargo that they were delivering. In other words, if they got to their port and there was nothing to unload on their ship, they weren't going to make any money. There was no stimulus package that was going to give them a free check at the end of their trip. No, they had to get the cargo to the destination, and after they got the cargo to the destination and unloaded it, then they were going to get paid. But the storm was so big that they're facing that they're just trying to survive. They're just trying to make it through the storm. And so they start throwing everything that they can, everything they can find that they feel is going to be making the ship to sink. They said, let's just throw it all out. They had no answers for that storm. You know, when you're going down in the path of disobedience, you not only will get around a crowd that is ungodly, but you'll get around a crowd that has no answers. When the storms of life come, they're just as scared as anybody else. They're just kind of wondering, are we going to survive this? How are we going to get through this? They have no answers. There is no refuge in their life. They can't say, as the psalmist said in Psalms 94:22, when he said, "But the Lord is my defense, and my God is the rock of my refuge." They can't say that because they have no refuge. They have no answers. You see, whenever you're on the path of disobedience, you'll be around a crowd that doesn't do what is right and a crowd that has no answers. The path of disobedience leaves you kind of alone. We find that Jonah, on that first step and the first decision that he makes on this path, is a crowd that is ungodly, a crowd that has no answers. But then I want you to notice, as the Bible shares with us, the comfort that he felt. You see, in verse number 5, we find that the mariners are scared, they're throwing everything out. But then it says there, "But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep." And now can you picture this? a storm that's life-threatening, right? Sailors, this is what they do. They're on ships all the time going to different ports. They're used to storms, all right? This wasn't something new, but the storm that they found themselves in was different than every other storm they had been in. This was a lot bigger than any storm they'd been in. They're throwing everything out of the boat, just trying to survive, and there's Jonah, fast asleep, comfortable as he can be. But you know, that comfort wasn't there because he had confidence in God's protection. It wasn't there because he had the peace of God resting in him and upon him. No, you see, that comfort came as a result of being indifferent. You see, when you get on the path of disobedience, it'll take you to a point in your life where you become indifferent to everything. You'll notice that Jonah really didn't care about the crowd that was around him. He didn't care about their needs. He didn't care about their concerns. He didn't care about their lives. He didn't care about their destinations. He didn't care about what was going on at all. He was just going to go down into the ship, and he was going to go to sleep. Hey, wake me up when we get there. You know, the path of disobedience does bring comfort to you, but it's a comfort that is a result of indifference. It kind of reminds me of the story in Luke chapter 10 that Jesus told of this guy that was traveling from Jerusalem down to Jericho, and he gets jumped and beaten, and they rob him. These robbers rob him. And the first person to see this poor man that's beaten on the side of the road, having been robbed, is a priest. And it says, and the priest looked at him, and he saw him, and then he just kind of passed on the other side. And then a Levite came and saw the same situation and saw the man that was beaten on the side of the road. And Jesus said, and he just passed on the other side. Why? They were comfortable. Indifference makes you comfortable. But let me tell you something about indifference. Is that it makes you very self-centered. Whenever you get on this path of disobedience, not only will it take you to people that are not going to encourage you, people that don't have answers that can help you, it'll also make you comfortable with indifference in your life. And that indifference makes you don't care about the needs of others. You don't care what is happening in the lives of others. You don't care about the challenges that they are facing. All you care about is you. It's a very self-centered kind of life. And you get comfortable with that. But as in all things on this path of disobedience, nothing lasts very long. You see, you find that that comfort that's a result of indifference, of not really caring, is something that is short-lived. It's something that is temporary. You see, as all of that is happening around him, finally the captain says, hey, didn't we bring another guy there when we were at Joppa? What wasn't there another guy? Where's he at? How come he's not helping us unload? And he goes down to the ship and he finds Jonah. He says, hey, what is it? What are you doing? He said, well, why are you sleeping like nothing's going on? We're about to die here. And Jonah, you're just sitting there asleep. What do you think you're doing? And he wakes him up out of that sleep. You know, no matter how fast Jonah went to sleep, no matter how deep the sleep was, it didn't last very long. It was very temporary and short-lived. Can I say, you and I might be comfortable when we disobey, because the path of disobedience it's a path that can make you very comfortable. But that comfort doesn't last very long. You can be selfish during that time, but that selfishness doesn't get you very far. You see, one thing that we sometimes mistake when we're on this path of disobedience, and let me tell you, you ought not to make this mistake. We must never start feeling comfortable in the way he was and where he was, but that was temporary and short-lived. And suddenly that storm was beginning to affect him. Now he's getting woken up out of his sleep and saying, hey, you're going to die with us unless something happens. Disobedience. You find a crowd you shouldn't be around. While. He was able to run in the opposite direction and nothing happened. God said, I want you to go to Nineveh, Jonah said no. And instead of going to Nineveh and told the men, yes, I want to go with you guys to that destination, and nothing happened. He fell asleep. He was comfortable, and nothing happened. You know, sometimes when you're on the path of disobedience, it kind of feels like nothing ever is going to happen. The psalmist said many times to God, he said, how come it seems like, especially in Psalm 73, he said, how come it seems like those that do wrong, nothing ever bad happens to them? Those that are disobedient, nothing bad ever happens to them. And sometimes when you're on that path of disobedience, it seems like that. It seems like this is true. You see, at some point, you're going to have to be shaken awake. At some point, you're going to find that the storm is bigger than what you can handle. It's bigger than what others know what to do. You see, our disobedience always catches up to us eventually. And in Jonah's life, it caught up to him. It caught up to what he was doing. It caught up to his life. You see, you read on in verse number 7, and they said, well, the sailor said, well, let's just cast lots, and let's just see if by casting lots we can find out why this storm has come upon us. And that was a thing that they did in Jonah's day. They believed a lot in casting lots, and so they had these dice that they would use, and if the dice fell on you that it was your fault, then they would believe that it was your fault. And they did this for many on many different occasions, and we find here in the book of Jonah, they did it on this occasion. And of course, God, who is in control of all things, made the dice to do that. Now, let me just say, every time you play dice doesn't mean that God's going to control it and point at whose fault is everything is. Okay, that's not the point of what the story is saying. But what it was saying is that in that moment, God showed the men whose fault this was. And it's amazing to me, you look at verse number 8, they look at Jonah after the lots have been cast and it fell on Jonah, and they start asking him, hey, who are you anyway? Where are you coming from? Why is this happening to us? You should know. And Jonah begins to tell them, well, I'm a prophet of God. And God told me to go somewhere, and I'm going the opposite direction. You know what you find about Jonah's testimony at this point in his life? That crowd that he was running with and the comfort that he thought he had all showed that there was a price to pay. Everyone saw that it was Jonah who was disobeying. Even those sailors that kind of live the way they want to live and do what they want to do, even they could tell, Jonah, you're doing what's wrong. And they even asked him, why would you do that? If you know that God has made the sea and God made the land, then there's nowhere you can run away from him. Jonah, why would you do that? You know, I have found that times in my life where I've been walking down the path of disobedience, I have found that even those that don't call themselves Christians know that when I'm saying something that I shouldn't be saying, they call me out on it. It's amazing. Those that are not believers, those that are not followers of Christ, they can easily spot someone that is and that's not living what they say they are. It's amazing how those that don't even go to church can say, hey, don't you go to church? Hey, you shouldn't be saying those words. I thought you went to this church. I thought you were a Christian. Even they can spot it, and suddenly that testimony that you should have had of being a light is suddenly a testimony that is one of disobedience, one that's not following after God. We find that the men saw Jonah and they talk with Jonah and they find out, you're disobeying. The reason this storm is here is because of you, Jonah. It's because you're not doing what is right. Man, whenever you're on the path of disobedience, you'll find that you'll have a testimony of disobedience. Then I want you to notice, lastly this morning, that they were affected by his decision. Jonah made a decision to run away from God. He made a decision to get on this path of disobedience. And all the while, Jonah thought, well, it's really my choice. and it's only going to affect me. But can I tell you, anytime you make a decision in your life to go against what God has said, anytime that you make a decision to start walking the path of disobedience in your life, it always affects others. Always. It's amazing. People can make a decision and say, well, I'm going to start smoking. It doesn't matter. It's my decision. It's not going to affect anyone else. But you know that smoking not only affects your body, but whoever else is secondhand smoking there in the house with you. Sometimes people can go to a bar and say, well, I'm just going to drink as much as I want. After all, it's my life and it's not going to affect anybody else. And they get so drunk that they don't know that they can't drive, and they get behind the wheel of a car and they take someone else's life. You see, your decisions always affect everyone else. Jonah thought, I'm getting away with this. Nothing's happened. I'm feeling comfortable. And then suddenly, just like that, a storm hits. Jonah's waking up and he's got to confess, you know, guys, I've not been living the way I should be living. I'm not doing what I should be doing. And they're saying, yeah, we see that. Jonah, look what you're doing to us. The decisions that you're making is affecting us today. Can I say, sin always affects others. Remember the story of Achan in the book of Joshua? After they had conquered the city of Jericho and God gave them that wonderful victory, God told the people of Israel, he said, now, I don't want you to take anything. All of it is mine. All of the gold, all the cattle, all of the spoils of the city are mine. But Achan, the Bible says, saw some gold and some silver, and he saw Babylonian raiment, and he thought, you know what? I'm just going to hide this. Listen, there's a lot. God has a lot that he's going to take. I'm just going to take a little bit. It's not going to affect anything. It's just me. But you'll notice in Joshua 7:25, after they discover it was him, that Joshua asked the question, why hast thou troubled us? Achan thought, my decision's only going to affect me. But Joshua said, no, it doesn't just affect you. It affects all of us. You see, when you get to a point in your life where you're on this path of disobedience, the testimony you leave behind is one of disobedience and one that brings destruction to the life of others. Gary Richmond was a former zookeeper, and he had this to say about raccoons. He had a friend that had a raccoon, and as a man that had studied raccoons for much of his life, he said that through a glandular change that they have at about 24 months or at about 2 years of age, that often, even if you've raised a raccoon, because of that glandular change, they go crazy and they'll begin to attack you as their owner. Well, he was telling that to his friend and Julie, and she had been with this raccoon obviously for 2 years already. And he said, listen, you got to know something, Julie, that a 30-pound raccoon has the ferocity of a 100-pound dog. He said, you're not going to be able to control it. And once that raccoon just kind of flips the switch, it can attack you and it can really hurt you. And upon hearing all of that, Julie just looked at him, kind of smiled, and she said, I know what you're saying. I understand, she said, but you see, my raccoon, it's different. It's going to be different with me. It's going to be fine. This raccoon's never going to do that to me. I've cared for it all of its life. It wouldn't do that to me. 3 months later, he got the call that Bandit, the raccoon, had attacked Julie. In fact, it attacked her so bad that she was going to have plastic surgery to reconstruct her face. You know, I listened to that story and I listened to the warnings that Gary gave to his friend Julie, and it kind of reminds me of us today. So many people, they're walking on the path of disobedience and they think, no, it's going to be okay. This crowd's okay. And I feel just fine. Nothing's happened. And they carry this testimony of being disobedient and they think that their decisions aren't going to affect anybody else but themselves, only to wake up one day to realize that this path isn't as good as it is advertised to be. Only to find out that they were totally wrong and they thought, well, it's going to be different for me, but it isn't. You know, this morning, can I ask you, what path are you on? Are you experiencing this path of disobedience in your life? Is there something that God has called you to do that you're not following Him in doing? Well, if that's true for you today, can I just say, I have some great news for you. You might think that the situation you find yourself in is so bad, and because you've disobeyed so much, that God is done with you. But let me tell you this morning, God is not done with you. Even when you're done with God, God is not done with you. God is still working on you. God is still waiting for you. God still has a plan for you. You say, well, how do I get to that plan? All you got to do is turn around. You know, the word repent means to turn back. And 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If you find yourself on the path of disobedience today, listen, the solution for you today is just turn back to God. You don't have to keep going through the storm all by yourself. You don't have to be going through life with no answers. No, no, no. Just turn to God. I wonder this morning, if you're on that path, are you willing to turn back to God today? Are you willing to just say, God, I know the decision that I've made was a wrong decision. But God, if you would just be so just as to forgive me and help me and restore me, then I'm willing to go back. You know, if you're willing to say that and to do that this morning, I got great news for you. God is willing to forgive. God is willing to restore you this morning. Or maybe you're here this morning, you're listening, and you're saying, you know what? The truth of the matter is, I've never even started a relationship with God. Perhaps you've been on the path of disobedience all of your life. See, the Bible says that we're born on this path of disobedience. Bible says in Psalm 51, verse number 5, that we were born in sin. And that's why the Bible says we must be born again. If we're going to have a difference in our life, we must be born again. And perhaps you're here this morning and you're listening to this message and you're saying, you know what, Pastor, I've really never even been born again. I can't even think of a moment and a time in my life where I've asked God to forgive me of my sins, to be my Savior. You've been traveling this path of disobedience for far too long. Can I tell you, you can repent today. You can come to Jesus. He said in Romans chapter 10, verse number 13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Listen, can I encourage you today? Turn back. Don't keep walking a path of disobedience. Learn from the life of Jonah. Understand today, God's not finished with you, even if you're finished with Him. And let's turn back to God. I want to invite you to do that this morning. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the life of Jonah that reminds us this morning that we have someone to turn to. Oh, Father, I know that in life, so many times we make decisions that aren't the best decisions, and we start walking in paths that we should never be walking. And just like Jonah, we can find ourselves in a storm. We can find ourselves around those that cannot help us. We can find ourselves being awoken to a life-threatening situation. Oh, Father, I pray that if that be where we find ourselves this morning, and that we wouldn't be stubborn, that we wouldn't be determined not to change. Oh, Father, I pray that we would turn back to you. That we would find in you the forgiveness and the restoration that we need. As we continue in this moment of prayer, the pianist is just going to play one stanza. But perhaps you're at home or wherever you're watching this from, and you're saying, you know, Pastor, that's me. I've been on a path of disobedience lately, but I want to change. I want to turn back to God. Would you just pray for me that I can turn back to God? I want to pray for you this morning. You can leave a comment on the section of in Facebook or in YouTube, and I promise you, I'll get those comments, and I'll begin to pray for you by name if you'd like to share that. Or perhaps you're watching this morning and you're saying, you know what, Pastor, I've never started a relationship with God. I've never asked Jesus to forgive me of my sins. I don't know today that I am even a child of God, but I'd like to make that decision. Well, if that's your decision, then right there where you're at, you can pray and just say this short prayer. Say, God, I know that I'm on the path of disobedience. God, I know that I am a sinner. And I believe that you sent Jesus to die on the cross for my sin. Please forgive me of my sin and be my Savior. If you said that prayer, the Bible says that you have now in this moment become a child of God. Man, if you've made that decision this morning, I want to encourage you, would you share that with me? Would you, in the comment section on Facebook or on YouTube, just say, hey, Pastor, I just want you to know my name is so-and-so, and I made a decision today to become a Christian and a follower of Jesus Christ. I made that prayer this morning. Man, I'd love to celebrate with you in that. And I hope that that is your decision today. I want to pray just to close out this time of Bible study, and I'm going to ask you if you would join me. Father, thank you so much once again for this wonderful reminder that even when we're finished with you, you're not finished with us. Oh, I pray that we'd be able to turn back to you in this moment, and that we could find in you forgiveness and find in you restoration. And be with us, I pray, as we move forward from now in our life and the decisions that we're going to make. I pray that you work in our hearts and in our lives. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this morning I want to thank you once again for joining us. I have just one announcement before you change the YouTube channel. And that is that today at 5:30, for all of the kids that are basically kindergarten to fifth grade, the core age, our core program, right, our core kids program, we have a special program for you today that we'll be uploading onto Facebook at 5:30 p.m. So I want to encourage you parents, please sit your children down. If you have children between the ages of kindergarten to fifth grade, sit down with them today at 5:30. Go to our Facebook page and our YouTube page, and you'll be able to see the video that we've uploaded, the program. It's a special program just for them. They're going to have some experiment that they're going to be talking about, and a Bible story, a Bible lesson, and a Bible verse. And let me just tell you, there's a competition. I know I'm spoiling this for the teacher, but there's a competition at the end. So I want you to watch that whole video through and know about the competition. And I want to encourage you to participate in that lesson today, all right? Well, once again, thank you for joining us. I hope you have a wonderful and a blessed Sunday morning. We'll see you later.